Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I am James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin and DK in the background running the show. We are here on a Friday night, a few days before Christmas, a few days before the Monday night showdown of the Baltimore Ravens versus the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. Glenn, how's your week been? Y'all ready for Christmas?
Oh, man. So ready. Can't wait. I mean, what a weekend we have. We got two games tomorrow. Got a Bengals-Steelers matchup tomorrow. And then the Bills-Chargers nightcap. Then an all-day slate of games on Sunday. And, of course, the nightcap. Christmas night, 8 o'clock. Ravens-Niners. Two 11-3 teams trying to prove who's the best, at least as they're currently standing. And man, I know the Ravens have a tall task with the travel, and it's always tough when you have to be away from your family on Christmas night. But I don't know, man. I got a good feeling about this team, that this team is the right one to take what they've been doing at home and what they've been doing on this side of the country, take it across to the other side, and let these guys know in Santa Clara what we're all about in AFC North.
That's right. We all know that two things travel. Everyone's always talked about it, right? That is the run game and the defense, and we're gonna pack them, along with Lamar Jackson, along with a lot of mental toughness, and get right into this game. I cannot wait to break it down. Let's do so here. Let's start off, of course, as always, with some injury information. Let's see here. Oh, DK is going to put up the 49ers injury report first. I think there are some important names. Everyone's talking about how healthy the 49ers are, and good for them. I'm happy that they're healthy. But Arik Armstead did not practice today.
Big one.
Yeah, huge. And then who's the other guy up front on the defensive line?
Hargrave. Another guy. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it looks like he's probably going to go if he practiced limited today.
Yep.
But, we'll see what he ends up being. I'm sure there's some other names on here that I'm probably missing, but to me, those are the first two. I mean, Nick Bosa's on here, but he's going to play. Are there any other names on here that, are questioning whether or not they're going to play? Like Trent Williams on here, he's going to play, obviously.
Yeah, but I think you pointed out the two big ones. Arik Armstead would be a huge loss for them. He is good at not just the pass, which he's certainly impactful there, but also a great run defender. Having Hargrave out there would also be a big get for them, because he helps clog it up in the interior. And if you guys remember, don't just look at the final score of that Arizona game last week. Arizona ran all over these guys. Mm-hmm. So getting those two back would be big. It looks like Javon Hargrave has a good shot to play. Anytime you see a participation in practice, you're leaning towards him to play. But Armstead, no practice so far is bad news for him. Now, Juwan Jennings, also in the concussion protocol, did not participate yet to this point. Not one of the big sexy names at wide receiver like Debo and Brandon Ayuk, but still a solid, kind of like they're Aguilar. They still can make big plays, still can move the chains and catch a touchdown. So that's still a big loss for him. But everyone else looks like they're on track to get out there.
Yeah, so certainly some opportunities for the Baltimore Ravens to exploit some injuries that the Niners have been having. And I don't mean that in that they should be injured and I'm excited for them to be injured, but this is the nature of football and where we're at in the season. So you take advantage where they have weaknesses. DK, do you have the Ravens injury report? Okay, cool. We're going to pop up the Ravens injury report. That's all we're really focused on, ladies and gentlemen, because all we're worried about is us. Us. All right, what's
that, man? And Jimbo, there was a bit of an early week scare because they spotted Zay Flowers, what I heard, in a walking boot in the early part of the week. But luckily, it seems like it was just precautionary. And so he's back out there, full participation in today's practice.
I like to hear
that. And he did even get a limited session on Thursday. So it looked like it was purely, trying to make sure you're better safe than sorry and you'd be extra careful. Odell Beckham also missed practice on Thursday, had an illness, back to full participation on Friday. So the only one on here that has me concerned as far as may not play, who I think could be a key loss, is Arthur Maulet. And the reason I say is because he gets in a limited session Thursday and then goes to DNP on Friday.
Yeah, it's not a good progression.
It's not good. And look, he's been a big, important part in the slot for us this year. Super physical player and totally kind of turned around a disappointing year last year with the Steelers and was a big time player for us up to this point. So let's hope that he can get out there. But if not, the good thing is, we do have some depth there at that position.
I was going to say, isn't it crazy how cornerbacks go to Pittsburgh to die these days? Like, isn't Patrick Peterson there? Like, has anyone heard anything about Patrick Peterson this year?
Nothing good.
I don't know if he's. I don't even know if he's injured. Is he injured?
I don't think playing? So. I think he's playing.
And I think of, you know, some other guys, but yeah. So that, you know, obviously, like you said, we'll see what Zay looks like in this game. But, I mean, I saw him on Lamar's Instagram. Wasn't he on Lamar's Instagram? Looked like he was walking normal and
everything was
good. So
he's, dude, how old is he?
Yeah, he's like 12.
Come on. Right? How long does it take you to heal at that age? I mean, what are we talking about here? So you're like Wolverine at that age.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it. And hopefully he can, you know, he'll be able to play at 100%. But so look, both teams have their nicks. The Ravens obviously have a number of season-ending injuries that, you know, we're not even here to talk about. We're not here to make excuses for either. We're coming with our squad and looking forward to it. So all that being said, Glenn, should we talk about our guests real quick before we get into these matchups? Should we roll right into the matchups?
Yeah, I mean, we do have a guest coming up pretty soon. Diehard Niners fan, actually a buddy of mine and James here, and certainly knows his stuff. We're going to have him on to get a little bit of a perspective from the other side, get a little San Francisco perspective. And
just make sure you guys are really mean to him in the chat.
Definitely beat him up. Beat him up bad. Pick on him. Let him know what he's in store for coming up this weekend. But I don't know if there's a more anticipated game that I can remember in quite some time as far as regular season games go. Jimbo, did you put your
over
key in? You put your key in? Your key in?
Oh, shoot. I put my defensive key in. I didn't put my offensive key in.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, let's just jump into this preview.
Well, let me just ask you one quick question before we get into the preview. Do you think this is like a first take type question? So whatever, take it what you will. Who's this win more important for both these teams? Because, you know, it's not conference play.
Yeah.
Right. Like, which team needs it more?
Yeah, that's a good. I was thinking about that actually driving home today, and it's tough because it's obviously out of your conference, so it's typically not going to factor into unless you're way down the rung as far as tiebreakers. If you end up tied, you know, for seeding purposes. So I'm gonna say, man, it's a tough one, man. I think it depends on which way you look at it. Like the Niners, I think it's more important because you always want to defend your home turf. You always want to win games at home, and split on the road, win all your games at home, you're almost guaranteed to be in the playoffs. So from that standpoint, it's certainly important. But I think just confidence level and the juggernaut that is the AFC, if the Ravens were able to pull this off, they're going to go into the playoffs knowing, not thinking, not being pretty sure, but knowing we can beat any team in this daggone league, no matter what. And so I think just from a confidence standpoint, it would mean a lot for the Ravens.
Yeah.
But it's always important to defend your home turf. So that's a tough question, Jim. But what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think that I hate the question of itself. I think the game does – the win might mean more to the Ravens only because I think ultimately the AFC like playoff race that I'm going to see might end up being a little tighter.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that comes to mind for me, just simply for a playoff seeding. Anyway, just kind of want to throw that one out there. We can absolutely get into actually really quickly before we get into the matchups as well. Should we get into what Flora had to say or should we wait till later? I have it dialed up.
You got it queued up?
Yeah.
Well,
I have two videos dialed up, all right? So
dang, my man came
prepared. Okay. Let me do this real quick. Let me share my screen.
Yeah. Because I read what Florio said, but I didn't hear him say it. So,
all right, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen this, this is Mike Florio talking about the Ravens Niners matchup. Let me know.
Is he wearing a sweater?
Can you hear it?
Santa Claus?
Yeah. The quest is for second place. That's it. Key players are healthy. They're going to kick the shit out of everybody they face. The quest is for second place. That's it. As long as those people stay healthy, they're currently healthy. The 49ers kicked the shit out of the Ravens on Monday night. I'm sorry. I know that's disrespectful to the Ravens, but let's be realistic. At home, they got to fly country on Christmas night, and the 49ers are waiting, and the 49ers are going to dismantle the Ravens. And if it's a Super Bowl preview, the Super Bowl is going to suck because the 49ers, as long as those guys are healthy, they're going to run over everyone.
Okay, hold on. bear with me. And let me share this as well, because this is exactly what I thought when I saw this video. And I think that a lot of folks will agree with what I had to, with my thoughts here. Just take a look at this.
Cold, it's wet, it's dark. You've got no cartilage in your knee. You've got shorts, whatever it is that's the issue today.
Keep talking. I need you to keep talking about what you were just saying.
Mm-hmm. It's warm on the couch. That's your missus says stay in bed. It's comfy.
Keep talking.
It's cozy.
I love it,
Florio. You've got work later
on.
You had an argument last night. You're slightly hungover.
I know every motherfucker ain't going to do what I'm going to do. So yep. This is how you level up. I know there's a whole bunch of people with that right there. That fires me up. That makes me fucking happy with you just said. That brings joy to my life right there.
Oh, I love it, dude. I love it. Oh, it just gets me so fired up. I cannot wait for this game, dude. How you feeling about the comments, Glenn?
Look, the guy is clearly salty. He's a baby. And let me tell you why he's a baby. And you know what? The sad thing is I like Sims and Florio, but recently Florio just is coming off as a big baby. And let me explain to you why I say that. A couple weeks ago, maybe even last week, he picked against the Ravens. And the Ravens social media team, after the game, during their montage of highlights and kind of recapping the game, they included a brief list of a bunch of guys. And it might even be in, like, quotes, like where they played little snippets of audio. And I think Florio was one of the pieces of audio where he picked against the Ravens. And all they did was include a couple snippets of others, not just him, a bunch of individuals that picked against the Ravens. He took very much so personal offense to this. He got offended. He said, hey, everyone does this. Why are you guys, you know, putting my name in there? Why are you putting their name in there? Da, da, da. So all this is him being a huge baby because they put the little snippet of him picking against the Ravens and it hurt his feelings. Because why else would this guy go this hard when predicting two 11-3 teams? This isn't an 11-3 team taking on a 3-11 team, where then you could say they're going to kick the shit out of him. And even if, I mean, it's just the only reason he went that hard is because his feelings were hurt by the Ravens social media team. That's the truth of it.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, I just kind of wanted to get that one out there because I can't find myself disagreeing with what you have said, but I love all of it. Just bring all of it, right? At this point, just like keep it coming because it just fuels me, right? Like I'm fueled by your booze.
I love it. And you know what? You can't tell me anybody who's watched anything on any great athlete, they want any edge they can get. They want anything. They'll even manufacture. If you watch the documentary on Jordan, he just makes shit up to make him pissed off at his opponent. And so just the fact that we don't even have to take it to those lengths, all you got to do is turn on YouTube and you got all the motivation you could ask for. So, yeah, man, I love to see it. I think Roquan's going to have those boys ready to run through brick walls and rip heads off. So we'll see what Mike Florio has to say come Tuesday if he's working the day after Christmas.
All right, with all that being said, Glenn, you want to give your best WWE introduction to our guest today?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. So our next guest, lifelong diehard Niners fan, also happens to be a very good friend of mine and Jimbo Slimbo's here, but knows his stuff as well. And you know what? He wanted to make sure he came on here today to defend his Niners. And so we're going to give him an opportunity. Now, I just ask that everyone in the chat, please make sure he knows that he's in Ravens country, that he's joining a chat that's full of the flock, and make sure we welcome him accordingly. And let's see here. Let me just make sure. Okay.
Oh, we got to get Sean's super chat too.
Yeah. I want to make sure we don't miss Sean's super chat. But without any further ado, Richard France, welcome to the show. Appreciate you joining us.
Look at the red.
How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm all right, man. Appreciate y'all for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. I see you prepared. You trimmed the beard. I appreciate that. Make sure you look your best. I appreciate that. But so first and foremost, I just want to get your take on just kind of like the build up to the game. Do you think this is like a lot of people are calling this the Super Bowl preview? I think even Florio mentioned that. Of course, he said it would be an ass whipping
Super Bowl.
But
I like Florio a lot more now.
Yeah, I bet you do. Yeah, I can imagine. But do you agree? Do you look at this as the two best teams currently playing in this game?
Absolutely. I mean, the Niners playing Dallas early, playing Philly early, got them out of there very easily. You know, the NFC. And then the Ravens. I mean, the AFC to me has looked a lot weaker these last couple weeks, with the Ravens being the only strength in the AFC. So, yeah, absolutely. I definitely think it's a Super Bowl preview this week. Christmas Day.
That's right. Yeah, in fact, I think there's a super chat related to such. DK, if you want to throw up that Ryan Laney super chat here, this is a donation to you, Rich. I don't know if it'll get to you.
Oh, God.
Please give this donation to Richard now because his Christmas.
I'm surprised he's willing to pay. That's weird.
What'd shout out to Laney. He says he's surprised he's willing to pay. Look, it's a long story. We know Ryan Laney. Shout out to Laney, baby.
Shout out to Laney.
The donation. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned the that the conferences looked weaker, despite the fact that the Bills absolutely curb stomped the darlings of the NFC in the Cowboys last weekend. And so I'm kind of surprised to hear that you think that the AFC is looking weak. Now let me ask you.
Yeah, the Bills are, you know, the playoff picture, they're all the way down at the bottom. They're hanging on by the skin of their teeth.
Didn't look like that last weekend. Certainly did not. But so my question is, are the AFC teams only looking weak when they're playing other AFC teams?
I mean, you know, it's a solid argument, right? Like, come on.
How do you feel about, I mean, all these games are different, being that, you know, the Bengals and the Browns and the Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers, all different teams in the AFC North, but the Niners are 1-2 against the AFC North as it stands right now. Mm-hmm. Any concern about that going into this game, or do you consider each one of them, you know, singular events? Or is there something about the physicality of the AFC North that they're struggling with?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, the Niners, they had a small stretch there. They had a couple injuries. You know, I think, you know, a lot of it game plan and things like that. I think Shanahan came up a little short in those games. But there were some injuries, some key injuries for us. We're a team that needs to have everybody healthy, all our guys ready to go. And we were just caught off guard a little bit, I think. Cleveland's a tough team.
We know that. We split
Cincy. That defense is tough, and when we played Cincy, Burrow and them were just catching stride a little bit before he went out. Yeah. So, I mean, that was a long time ago. You know, we've been on a 6-7 game win streak since then. So,
you lost count, did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something here. Only really beat the Eagles, up dubs, you know, right? What I mean? Like, I guess you beat Jacksonville too, but outside of that, it was like Tampa, yeah, Seattle, Arizona.
37-3.
Yeah.
Beat Jacksonville.
Okay. Yeah. That's true. Okay. I mean, well, let me ask you this, Richard. What do the Ravens have to do? Like, what do you look at? Like, all right, if the Ravens do this, then my Niners are in trouble. What could they do to get that dub?
Well, defensively, just playing how they've been playing all year. Ravens defense is stout, man. You know, it'll be the best defense we faced since Cleveland. And to me, they're a lot better than Cleveland. So, defensively, and then running the ball. Armstead hasn't been around. I was watching when you guys first started the show, speaking about the injuries and all. Armstead is a huge part of our rush defense. With him out, you know, that's leaves you a little shaky as a Niners fan. If there's one way to beat us, I think it is being able to run the ball, solidify the run game. So if the Ravens are able to run the ball, mm-hmm, and play the defense that they've been playing, you know, they got a bunch of studs over there. They got the athletes, the personnel to play against our players, you know. So I'd say just play the defense that they've been playing and have a strong run game.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I'll say is that I can't disagree with you. If you look at just macro, you know, the statistics at a macro level for the Niners this year and the three losses you guys do have, of course, McCaffrey was held under 100 yards. So obviously I think from my outside looking at, I think that might be job number one for our defense, is do the very best to bottle them up. But when you look at our offense against your defense, a lot of times when teams are inexperienced playing Lamar Jackson, you know, being that they're not in conference, they get a little overzealous, right? They start to like run past Lamar Jackson instead of play a little bit more contained, being who he is. I feel like sometimes that can happen with, I don't know a better phrase for this, but like the thoroughbred outside rusher, right? Like the Bosas, like the, like even the, you know, Myles Garrett. It's different because Miles is much more familiar with Lamar. But how do you feel their success will be in attacking Lamar Jackson, trying to neutralize what he can do? Like, does it make you nervous that you don't see him a lot? You know what I mean? He's not in conference. Last time we played was what, that 19 season? Am I mistaken on that? Isn't that the last time we played?
Yeah. And I actually, before I got on today, I went back and looked at that game and was shocked. Like, I mean, I forgot about, you know, how that game went, and was shocked at how we played. Now, granted, the Ravens ran a different offense then.
Yeah.
Ran a lot more option style offense, and just play after play, time after time, watching our DNs crash down on the running back instead of staying with Lamar. It like shocked me. The Ravens run a lot different offense nowadays, obviously. So I don't know. I mean, when we played Philly, I was anxious to see how we played against Jalen.
Yeah.
You know, I know Jalen was kind of banged up at the time, and watching the game with Glenn, it was blowing me watching how our defensive line was playing. You know, wasn't necessarily rushing. It wasn't until after the game that we found out, you know, the reasoning behind that and the strategy behind that. But it's definitely I mean, Lamar's a problem regardless if you match up for him or not. He's going to get his, I think. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I just look at last week's game, and although the Niners blew the doors off the Cardinals, the Cardinals had nothing. They had no answer for the Niners' offense. But on the flip side, James Conner, 14 carries, 86 yards and a tutty. Amari DeMarcado, 4 carries, 64 yards and a tutty. Kyler Murray.
He had
Murray,
a long one at the end.
Yeah, he had a 49-yarder. And then yeah. Kyler Murray, 6 carries, 49 yards, average 8 points. So their runners, James Conner, averaged 6.1. DeMarcado averaged 16 a carry. Kyler, 8.2. Even Michael Carter averaged 9 a carry
Michael
on just
Cook.
3 carries. Yeah, and just 3 carries, 27 yards. So it certainly looks like that would be the area the Ravens are going to look to attack. But also, I want to get your take on this, because when I look at this game, I think of the middle of the field as being very important to both teams. And I look at the way the Ravens have been using Isaiah Likely since Mark Andrews has been injured. And I go, well, man, he's been a key cog for us. But then I think, well, Fred Warner's the only linebacker, I think, is in the class of Roquan Smith, and the only guy I can see that can cover nearly as good as Roquan. But then I look at the box score last week. Tight end Trey McBride for the Cardinals. True. 10 catches, 102 True. Yards on 11 targets, clearly was their focus over the middle of the field. So my question is what happened in trying to stop Trey McBride? And do you expect Isaiah Likely to be a bit of a problem for your boys?
Well, I'm a huge fan of Isaiah. I like Isaiah. Super athletic, got some wheels, can run routes, you know, great hands. To me, in some ways, is more dangerous than your starting tight end that you guys currently have, you know, if he's available out on the field. But Fred Warner, is for how good he's been, hasn't been who he's been early in his career. I mean, I don't know the numbers and all like that, like, but he hasn't been the same, you know. And I mean, we'll have to see, I guess. You know, Drake Greenlaw isn't somebody to sleep on either. He's another really good coverage, physical, a guy that can move, you know, at the other linebacker position. So,
yeah,
we'll see.
Those BYU guys tend to disappoint anyways. That's kind of how it goes.
What's that?
Those BYU guys tend to disappoint anyways. Generally how it goes. Isn't Fred Warner a Cougar?
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Now, there's another question I have.
All the BYU.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I do have a question, though, regarding I can't even say that because we got Van Noy. I better hope that he shows out, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know if anybody, like, psychologically, if this is just a media-driven thing or an actual thing. But if you look at the Niners' wins this year, their closest win was a 7-point win. It was week 2. Against the Rams, right? There haven't been a lot of close games. And a lot of people say that's awesome. Like, why would you not want to just blow everyone out, right? But I think there's also something to be said about learning how to win in these tight matchups where big decisions at the right moment, at the right time, and big plays and high pressure moments need to be made, right? So really my question in a million words is the team battle tested in your opinion? And that, like, do they have enough of those under their belt, or does that not mean anything? And is that just a thing that people say? Like, do you put any stock in the importance of winning close games?
I mean, not really. You know, it'd be awesome too. For me personally, I think it would be good to shut up the Purdy haters. You know, to see Purdy in a tight game, be able to make something happen, have that MVP moment that maybe, you know, he might have missed to this point. But outside of that, I mean, you'd like to be a little battle tested, I guess. I went back and looked at our schedule to get myself ready for this show for you guys, and there's a lot of teams in there, a lot of defenses that are not the Ravens, you know,
and
nowhere close. And the only team that to me is anywhere close again is Cleveland. And we kind of struggled that game offensively. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I don't think it's necessary to win all these tight games. I mean, what was the Vikings last year? Mm-hmm. Had like a historic run, right? Where they had like 10 wins with one score games or whatever.
That's true. It's a good point.
It didn't end up amounting to much of anything. They were one and done, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes
it just makes me think of, like, man, I feel like the 2019 season was, we were just blowing the doors off of everyone. So I feel like I'm kind of scarred that way. If I'm a Niners fan, I'd be like, oh, them 2019 Ravens were just smashing everyone. And then, you know, things changed in the playoffs, right? Which, obviously, they're not related, but in my head,
I go
back to that 19 season.
I think it's something to be said to know how to win a close game. They're all humans. These aren't robots playing. So emotions play a part. And being able to stiffen up and not shy away in those big moments, I think, is a learned thing. I don't think it's just something that just happens. Shout out to my nephew, Tyler, says, Big Dog France.
Yes, sir.
Be a great game. Let's effing go. B Steve Ray, take them boys deep into deep waters. I like it. I think he's saying Brandon Stevens ready to take them boys in deep water. Okay, yeah,
all right.
Yeah. Brandon Stevens ready to get physical with Debo. He's gonna show who's the real Debo in town once he gets lined up against him. But I do want to get your take on this and your confidence level, because I was talking to my father, shout out to my dad, about this game, and he said he thinks that this game is going to come down to the kicking game. He thinks the game will come down to who has more. So I couldn't help but remember we watched the Cleveland game together, and despite the fact that most people think they weren't in that game, Purdy did actually put them in position to win the game.
Absolutely.
And Moody missed the kick, and he's a young guy, and on our side, we got the GOAT. So if it comes down to, say, a 45-yard field goal, what's the confidence level that Moody's going to make that kick? Because I know where ours is with Jay Tuck.
Is it, though? I mean, he hasn't been the same as he has in years. What, has he got 4 or 5 misses this year?
They're all 50-plus except for
one. He's had 3 blocked.
Hey, he's like Deion, dude. A little bit. I don't know.
He's like Deion. When they ask him how fast are you, he said how fast the other
still
guy.
The only kicker over 90% in NFL history.
Is he up there again?
He's back over 90. Yeah,
took over for that this year.
Yeah, yeah, it's gone. That was
he
one
had
week.
It for 1 week.
That took
he had
1 week.
Record for 1 week, and then he missed 3 kicks. He missed 3 kicks. Koo did.
Yeah.
So, what do you feel good about Moody making that kick at 45 yards with the game on the line?
I mean, that was a long time ago. At the time, I was telling anybody who asked me about it, that we need to cut him.
Yeah, you're right. If
you know, cut a third round pick.
Rich was waiting for the call himself. He's like, Shanahan, dude, I'll kick that.
Please get rid of this guy. My exact words were, there's going to be a point in time we're going to need him later in the season. And because of this stuff, because of these misses, this game, he's going to end up blowing it, and he's going to ruin this great season we're about to have. Mm-hmm. You know, like Jimmy was saying before, we haven't been in any really tight games. There hasn't been any pressure kicks for him. If I'm not mistaken, that's the only one.
Yeah.
You know? So
only one was a miss.
Level percentage, I might go 75%.
Okay. I like hearing that. You know? I like hearing the doubt.
I'm not the kicker, though. So
I like hearing. Yeah, yeah, but if you have it, then the players have it, and then I think Moody has it as well.
How different would you feel about this game if the Niners were traveling to Baltimore?
Oh, a lot different. A lot different.
Yeah, because the spread is 5.5 right now, right? And you get a 3-point spot basically for being at home. So they're saying that in a neutral field, it would be a 2.5-point game.
Right.
You agree with that? Or do you think the Niners, you know, I mean, do you think the spread should be more?
I mean, I was talking to Glenn about it. And I think his, if I'm not mistaken, Glenn, your early prediction before the spread came out was 4.5.
I think it was 4.5, yeah.
Yeah. I think at that point, I was like, I think that's kind of low. But, I mean, if you get, like, I like the Ravens too, right? I'm from Baltimore. I like the Ravens. They're my number two, you know. But looking at two teams, 11-3, having that kind of spread, a little shocking, I guess.
Florio thinks it's to be double digits.
Yeah, I like Florio.
Wild. Now, Rich, I got to ask you a question.
Might be my new Facebook picture after this.
Is there a possibility you could have attended this game?
There was a bunch of possibilities, but I turned them all down. I'm not getting on a plane.
Why?
I can't do it, man.
Why?
Kobe died in the air. Anything is possible.
It was a helicopter.
Still in the air.
Look. Is there any substance that you could legally take that would make you feel looser about flying?
I'm not taking anything. I'm not getting on a plane.
Oh.
Hurry.
Glenn, I'm gonna get you on a plane. You know that, right?
I'll get on a plane, especially if someone's willing to pay for it.
Rich, you're killing me, dude. It's
Shout
time
out
travel.
To Pops, man. He damn near begged me to take me. I couldn't do it. Can't do it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well,
still shocks everyone I tell.
One day, dude.
Well, look, I'm going to let you out of here after this one, Rich. I got to get your prediction on what actually will happen Monday night.
All right. Pick carefully. I got
know that you'll be at my house.
35-17 Niners.
Damn. Wow. Oh, you just said this was a tough defense. Holy shit.
Man, did you just double them up?
17 Niners with a late score by the Ravens to make it look a lot tighter than what it actually is.
So basically 35-10. And then they get a late score to make it 17.
Yeah.
Wow.
Couple turnovers. Lamar's going to have a couple turnovers. Brock Purdy's going to solidify himself as this year's NFL MVP.
Because that's how it usually goes.
I'm going to get a shirt made, and it's going to say Lamar who or Lamar.
Oh, my gosh.
Lamar who 19-2 with a Lamar and a Brian Jordan piece.
19-2. You know what I love? I love the fact that it's been so long since they played that quality defense in the Browns, because they're feeling themselves. And it's just like Mike Tyson said, man. We'll see how they react when they get absolutely punched in their mouth. And we saw when they got a little beat up that Purdy didn't like that. You know, he didn't like that. And I think Metabike is going to have something to have for him this weekend. But, yeah, Rich, I appreciate you coming
right
on, Rich.
You know what this is in sign language right here?
I do not.
Quicksand, baby. Quicksand. You just stepped in quicksand.
On the game. They're not listening to me, Jim.
I can't.
I don't know. We've been blocked by multiple. We've been blocked. So
I can't believe you just said, not only are they going to double us up, then you said we're going to score late, and then you said Purdy's going to outplay Lamar Jackson.
Oh well, that's the least of everything I said. Come on, guys. Lamar's great, but Purdy's been phenomenal this year.
Oh, I can't wait for this. Oh man, woo! Mm-hmm. I thought I'd take the purple Kool-Aid right to the vein, Rich.
Ooh, hey, I love it. I love it because I can't wait until Monday night. I absolutely can't wait.
I wish they were playing right now.
That's right. Seriously. Right out front. Right out front on the concrete. Yep. And, I know a couple players that would certainly show up.
For sure,
if it
was concrete, the Steelers stand or the Niners stand, no chance.
Yeah, no chance. They're too soft.
Concrete?
All right, Richard. Well, we're going to let you out of here, but I appreciate you joining us, spending a couple minutes with us. And, I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Hey, Lamar,
love
on
you,
concrete?
Boys. Appreciate
Rich,
y'all,
come
man.
On.
Enjoy the show, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
See ya.
All right. Well,
yeah, dude. Lamar on concrete for real, though. Just think about that for a second. Comparison to somebody else.
Cheating.
Would not be, dude. He went with slides on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as long as he doesn't slip.
Yeah.
Because we've seen him lose his footing.
How shocked are you by that prediction? By all three of them. So it's 35-10 with a late score. They double us up. They drop 35 on our defense. Purdy outplays Lamar. I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just can't believe after everything I heard before that, that he went. I mean, he talked about the defense, best defense they played all year, and 35 points will be dropped. Tyler says, and Purdy is the real deal. His spot throws primo. Yeah, I mean, he's been phenomenal this year. There's no doubt about it. But let's see what he can do if the Ravens are able to get a lead.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see if he can come back. Let's just see.
I don't want to come off as a Purdy hater. I just think it's still kind of crazy to think that after all Lamar Jackson's done in the NFL, to just simply say that in this matchup, Purdy's going to outplay Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson gets outplayed by the opposing quarterback very few times, period. It's just not a good bet to make.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, we'll see. Ryan Laney says, Ravens 5-2 against the Niners. we always leave the lights on. Yeah, yeah. It's been a while since the Niners have gotten the best of the Ravens, and I don't know if that's going to change this weekend. So, yeah, they have a lot of advantages being at home and all that stuff. That's fine. But it seems like a team that's on a mission, and as long as the Ravens don't allow themselves to get down big early and give them all kinds of confidence, if they keep it tied or if they have a lead early parts, I think the Niners are going to get a little bit nervous about playing a good team in a tight game. But let's get into let's finish up some of these super chats and let's get into some of our preview here. Sean says, evening boys, friendly reminder, don't drink and drive at 4 PM, especially after making eye contact with a state trooper, and go Ravens. Our boys will make this game competitive. So what is he referring to here? Something that happened today?
Sounds like he pulled someone over today who probably was leading a work Christmas party is my guess. And decide to make eye contact with Sean and drive on the wrong side. Hey, Sean, I got a good story. This will be 10 seconds, Glenn. I'm pulling after the Canelo. I don't drink. I've literally never drank in my life. But after the Canelo Mayweather fight, my wife and I were leaving the Buffalo Wild Wings. We're leaving. We pull out. I just get super nervous behind cops because I pulled over by some jerk cops when I was a young kid who like freaked me out. So I'm nervous about cops. I don't like them. They don't like me. Whatever. Anyway, I get pulled over and the cop flashes lights behind me because he's trying to pull over people drinking from the boxing match, right? Mm-hmm. Pulls over the wrong person because I'm about as dry as every lake in California. But I pull off to the left. I cross two lanes of traffic to pull off in the opposite side shoulder just because I was so scared. Like, I just don't like interacting with cops. So he pulled over he was like, dude, what are you doing? He literally started laughing. Like, what did you just do? Anyway, yes, don't drink and drive.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Costs too daggone much to get that fixed. Let's see here. All right. Well, let's get into JL says, why are they sucking the Niners so much? When was the last time the Ravens lost three in a row? Like the Niners did earlier this year. Ravens will win 34-10. Disrespect has gone too far. NFC is trash. Yeah, I mean, I love how people want to say, well, the AFC hasn't looked as strong lately when they're literally playing other teams in the AFC. Like, of course they're going to beat each other up. Like, tell me when the NFC comes over and beats the crap out of a contending AFC team, and then I'll say, okay, I see something. But last I checked, when they come visit the AFC, they go home with a loss in their back pocket. And just ask the Dallas Cowboys how it went when they got absolutely ran through by a team that doesn't even like to run the ball.
Yeah, and I'll just say this. I think ultimately whoever wins this game, I think it's pretty crazy to just say it's going to be by a wide margin. I know I'm certainly not saying it.
No, I don't think so. I think it's going to be a close game.
Yeah. Todd Heap says, if this is Super Bowl preview, wouldn't the loser have the advantage in the Super Bowl? I kind of thought about that. I recall getting our butt kicked by Denver a few weeks before the Mile High Miracle. Easier to adjust to a loss. Yeah, you can say it both ways. You can adjust to a loss, or you can have confidence going in and really stomp on their throats. So just saying like, hey, I've already done this before. We're about to do it again, right? So I understand what you're saying, Todd, but the pendulum there swings both ways.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think you could frame it either way you want, just like you can make a statistic either way you want it. I don't know if it buys any team any advantages. Don C says, in the last 30 games that the 49ers were trailing in the fourth quarter, they only had three wins. The Ravens need to run the ball and no turnovers. Yeah.
Dunsey pulling stats up out of the basement.
Dude, I was shocked. Since Shanahan's been there, I think they have one or no fourth quarter comebacks when they're trailing in the fourth quarter. Mm. Like, shocking. Like, because he's supposed to be this offensive genius. To hear that he couldn't orchestrate a single comeback in his tenure in the fourth quarter is quite shocking.
Is that also a thing too? When one, your quarterback isn't your best offensive player, and two, you are a very system dependent offense. Like it's a system, mm-hmm. not players thing. Like, yeah, they have great players. It's not my point. But like when things break down in a system, we always have eight. And I'm not saying like you can, you know, that's something you need to, that's sustainable. My point is for a handful of plays, when it comes down to that, he makes spectacular plays. But when you're system dependent, maybe some of those things can be lacking.
That's true. And when you are like Shanahan is so stringent on staying in the system, whereas a guy like Todd Monken doesn't have like a traditional system, because he gets pieces from multiple different systems and he has kind of a unique. So
he's a chameleon, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what's pretty cool about what he has to run. I mean, he's already taken pieces of Roman and it's not like you can just go, oh, it's the Shanahan system. Because it's not like anything you've seen before with Tom.
Don's going in, dude.
Yeah, let's see. Don C says, will your three-way bromance last if our Ravens curb stomp Rich and his beloved 49ers? Yeah, absolutely it will. He's been to the game. He was at the Niners game with us, with me on Thanksgiving.
You're still friends.
17. And let me tell you, the Ravens fans around us didn't even have, they felt no need to give him any extra ribbing.
What does that mean?
Because they were like, that guy's got it. I mean, that guy's got it. I was right here screaming into his face. Guy's a good sport. He can handle it. So, the bromance will live strong after this, Don C. Have no worries. Have no fears. Let's see here. I want to start talking about some of their defensive stars and get into some of the rankings, because, man, this is the first team in a long time, Jimbo, where it's not going to be the Ravens rankings, stats and rankings, and the team we're playing. Like, they are certainly right up there. So, of course, a bunch of the names on that defensive side of the ball that you guys all know and have heard before. Fred Warner, we talked about him, the stud linebacker. Next to him is Dre Greenlaw. I don't know if there's another team that could realistically say we have the best two linebackers and actually form an argument against what the Ravens are bringing out there. That's how good Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. They are competing for the best two with Roquan and Pat Queen. Then, of course, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, they're two young studs. I mean, Nick Bosa was defensive player of the year last year. They can obviously get after the passer. Eric Armstead, who's iffy right now, has not participated. He'll be rushing from the interior as well as some edge work. And then Charvarius Ward is their best corner and looks to really get physical with guys on the outside and lock up the opposing team's number one. Now, as far as where they rank, it's pretty damn good. They're second in points, Jimbo. They give up 16.7 average points per game. In yards, they're ninth. They give up 310 yards per game. Third down conversions, just 22nd. They give up 40% conversion rate to opposing offenses on third down. Let's see. Rushing defense, they're third. They give up just 89.5 yards per game on average. Passing yards, they're 15th. They give up 220.5 passing yards on average per game. So, again, a team that is certainly going to be bringing a damn good defense to go up against our offense.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. I'm really looking forward to the test. And, yeah, like you said, I mean, I think the Ravens are pretty battle-tested. We talked about that. But so I think they have the guys to get it done. We saw what the offense did last week, and I'm looking forward to them building on that. And I just want to mention, when it comes to us offensively, I mean, we know what we've been, but my offensive key to the game, and I almost made them my breakout player, but I didn't because I kind of can't, is beat them up at the line of scrimmage. This defense, we talked about it with Rich and before Rich, their defensive line is struggling a little bit from a health standpoint. So there's going to be a place where we beat them up. It's going to be at the line of scrimmage. And so we got to get physical with him. We got to get nasty with him. Look, I grew up with a handful of wrestlers in my own house, and I know that they know how to get dirty. All right? Mm-hmm. So look, whatever Linderbaum, whatever tricks he's got in his sleeve, whatever wrist lock, whatever chin dig he's got, I want all of it. Get dirty with him at the line of scrimmage and beat him up. Do your very best to do so. I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens. And then I'll say you as my offensive key, breakout player, Glenn. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson dropped a hint for me today. Lamar Jackson in a media thing for Christmas, they put out a video with Lamar Jackson asking some Christmas questions. Who's the Grinch in the locker room? You know who he said?
Who's that?
Isaiah Likely, baby. Isaiah Likely's gonna fly into to old Santa Clara.
Mm-hmm. The big Levi, the big blue jean,
and steal Christmas from the 49ers, baby. I think that was a little bit of a hint about what he's about to do. So I'm going with Isaiah Likely as my offensive breakout player of the game. I cannot wait. I hope he shows up in the full Grinch suit, dude. Full Grinch.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I think he's got to be encouraged seeing what Trey McBride did to this very defense last week, going for double-digit catches and over 100 yards. I hope Isaiah Likely goes absolutely bonkers. Just somebody asked about what the red zone percentage was, even though they said third down didn't matter, which is obviously ridiculous. But the red zone scoring defense is 10th. They give up touchdowns 51% of the time when opposing offenses reach the end or reach the red zone. So they're good in that too. Top 10 in basically anything you can think of. They are certainly a tough defense. But to me, this game is going to come down to what happens on first and second down from the Ravens offense. If the Ravens are able to be efficient and be effective on first and second down and avoid third and 8, third and 9, third and 10, when those pass rushers are going to be able to just turn loose on our look, I'm not going to act like our tackles aren't at a disadvantage in this game. Right. I love the fact that they're participating in practice. I think that's super important. But there's a reason why McCary is time-sharing with Stanley at left tackle. It's because Stanley's not able to anchor right now. He's not having success putting his foot in the ground and standing these defensive ends up as they try and bull rush. And so that's concerning when I look at, I mean, Chase Young, Nick Bosa, and Eric Armstead. And I think didn't they pick up Gregory? Like, I think they picked up Randy Gregory, too. Like, I think they just decided we're going to take any talented pass rusher, no matter what's going on off the field, at least in concern with that guy. So they're going to have a ton of pass rushers. So I'm concerned if we're in third and long situations that those pass rushers are going to get, if not get to Lamar, at least bother him and force an errant throw or something like that. So to me, got to win first down, got to win second down. And look, I'm encouraged. When I look at these numbers, I think the Ravens can run on this team. And it hurts losing Keaton Mitchell. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. The home run threat that he brought was it's got to be something that DC's kept him up late at night. So it's going to be more of the Gus show. And certainly we're going to see more of Justice Hill than we have yet this season. But ultimately, it's going to come down to Lamar Jackson. And so I hope that even with the Keaton Mitchell loss, we can continue to win first and second down and set us up for third and short. I think that's the recipe for success. Tyler says, shut down Bosa. Our QB is a minority. Bosa is hungrier. What is it? Meme aside, we really need to catch that man, though we did let Garrett
watch that man
go off and still won one. I don't always know I don't know what this means. Honestly.
He's generations younger than us.
This is a
kid that's grown up with social media his entire life in limited characters.
Yeah, I don't know what that.
I don't understand what this means.
Yeah, but I agree. We got to shut down Bosa.
I wonder what your papers look like when you turn them in school.
Well, he's like 25, so he hasn't done that in a while.
I wonder what his emails look like in work. Are they all three word sentences and then a period?
Maybe.
I mean, I get it. It's good. It's good. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's just different.
Yeah. We got to watch him. Any Bosa on the field, you got to keep an eye on that guy.
They're not the brightest light bulbs in the bunch, so I'm not that worried about it. I said it. I don't care. I'm not taking it back.
They pay like it. That's for sure. They're paid like they're geniuses. My breakout player,
they are not paid a thing.
Is Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards has to be big in this game. He's going to have to obviously take more of the load on with the absence of Keaton Mitchell. And I wonder, Jimbo, I want to get your take on this. Do you think we see any or much of Melvin Gordon this weekend?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think. I think we see some limited Melvin. But okay. I want to get back to what you said about Gus, and I'm glad you picked him as your key breakout player to this game, because I think Gus plays better in these scenarios. Gus is a diesel. He's a train motor. He's a bus. So at this point, he's a diesel, right? A bus. I mean, you know, when he gets started, it takes a little bit of time. But you get that bus moving, it's kind of hard to stop. That momentum will really get going. So if you give Gus like the 6 to 9 carries a game, I don't think that there's a ton of value there. You get Gus in the 12, 18, 20 range, that's really when he starts wearing on you over and over again. So I'm glad you picked him. And I think that in a scenario like this where he's more of the traditional bell cow, if you will, I think we get more out of him. Specifically, I'm not saying that we should have been doing this all along, but in this scenario, I think we get more out of Gus. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, let's let him bludgeon these guys for 3 quarters and see how what they have left in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so apparently
is racist. I've seen some of these comments, but I'm just gonna stay away from all this.
Well, I think what I saw Tyler put in the text is that basically his stats against black quarterbacks are unbelievable, and his stats against white quarterbacks are not so good. So I guess when he plays black quarterbacks, he goes absolutely crazy for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And when he plays white quarterbacks, he doesn't have big games. So take that, whatever you want to make of that. But
it's a good thing Lamar is a minority amongst minorities. He's one of one, baby. You like
that's
that?
True. He is one of one. That is a fact.
Because Lamar Jackson is more than a black quarterback.
That's right. Let him know, Jimbo. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's all about staying ahead of the chains, not getting into third and long. And obviously, we say this every week. You can't turn the ball over. Can't hurt yourself. This team is too good to help them out. Can't help them in any way. Can't do it. Just can't do it.
I agree. Can't be one of those games where somehow you lose the turnover battle and win the game.
Right. Yeah, this ain't the Jets. This ain't. You know, the Steelers. Right. Don't you love I can put them in the category?
Such a great feeling. All right, let's flip the coin here and let's go to the Ravens defense, of course, which we've talked about a lot against their offense. Now, we've talked about names here, and I think Glenn's going to give us some stats, but just to give you some players to watch, some that you know, some that you might not know. A lot of these you guys already know, certainly if you play fantasy football. Christian McCaffrey, of course, the all-pro running back there, just passed 20 touchdowns. Deebo Samuel, in the second half of the season, I can attest to the fact that he's picked it up. He's now a bit healthier. Brandon Ayuk, of course, is a stud himself. George Kittle, the former all-pro tight end, the do-it-all tight end. And then, of course, he's the best left tackle in the NFL, not probably. Trent Williams beats pretty much everyone, including cancer. So, Trent Williams is out there at the left side to stamp whoever's in front of him. So they got some boys on offense. I also don't want to disrespect Brock Purdy because I noticed that he's not on the list for names offensively.
We never put the quarterback on there.
I guess that's true. But this also might be the list of best players offensively. I'm not going to keep ragging on Purdy. But, to Sean Pisker's point, no disrespect to Purdy. He's good, but Purdy isn't the MVP of his own team. Also true. How can he be the MVP of the league? When they had all the injuries, all Lamar Jackson does when there's injuries is lead us to first in the AFC. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just saying. But, so I agree with you, Sean, but we won't kick that dead horse. We'll do that after we stomp one Brock Purdy. Glenn, why don't you, we can get into their offensive statistics if you want, or for the sake of time, we can get into your defensive keys of the game. It's all up to you.
I'll quickly run through the stats. So in points offensively, they're third, 30.5 points per game. Yards, they're second, 402 yards per game, Jimbo, is their average. Third down percent, 48% of the time they convert. That's fourth in the league. Red zone scoring, Jimbo. They're first. They score touchdowns 68.5% of their red zone trips. Rushing yards, they're third. 140 rushing yards averaged per game. Mm-hmm. Passing yards, they're second. 262.5 passing yards per game. So as good as that defense was, Jimbo, their offense is better.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are just that good. So...
I have another percentage for you.
What's that?
I have another statistic for you. 70% of the games they've won are against NFL JV football teams. I just want to give you their wins. Pittsburgh, The ones I'm considering JV teams. Now, Pittsburgh Steelers beat us, but Pittsburgh, Giants, Arizona, loss. Tampa Bay, Seattle, Arizona.
What's their best win? What's their best wins?
I mean, the Philly, which the Eagles don't look that great right now, but certainly that's a big win. And then I guess the Rams week two, but they were beat up still at the beginning of the season. I don't know what their other big win would be. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, the Seattle Seahawks are like there. They're 500 or something, right, in the NFC, which is doo-doo. So, I don't know. Okay. I'm just saying. I'm saying is that you're throwing out some stats. So I wanted to add a little bit of spice to the stats here.
Okay.
All right. I'm feeling it, dude. I need a,
I mean, I need look, a here, here's right the...
Now. I need a pulpit, Glenn.
You got to think, the good thing I like about this is an offensive scheme that has given the Ravens some issues in the sense that they like to get our big guys moving left to right.
Yeah.
Instead of letting, you know, those big guys just take and absorb blocks and let our linebackers fly around, they want these guys moving left to right and allow CMC to pick and choose when he decides to cut back. And, you know, he's as good as they get. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is an all-pro running back and an all-pro receiver. There's not many players in history that were all-pro at two different positions on the offensive side of the ball. So they're really good. But everything that they're – all these guys, one thing they're all good at is they're so good after the catch or with the ball in their hands. Debo Samuel might be the best receiver in the league at that. Brandon Ayuk is really good at it as well. George Kittle might be the best tight end in the league as far as yak yards with the ball in his hands. And we know what Christian McCaffrey can do. So to me, the biggest thing is tackling space. They have four players in top 15 in yak. When you look at, when you sort by, certainly by pass catchers, George Kittle's in the top 15 as far as all pass catchers, you know, and as far as tight ends, I mean, he's certainly way up there. So, it's, to me, it's about tackling in space. You cannot let Debo did what he did last week, or was it last week or 2 weeks ago, where he caught two really short crossing routes. He just decided to break a tackle, turn upfield, and run for a 60-yard touchdown. So what's got me confident about what they like to do is they want to dominate the middle of the field, Jimbo. And them more than any other team, they want to run crossing routes and dominate the middle of the field. Well, if there's any team they can neutralize a team that has Kittle, CMC, Debo, and Brandon Ayuk, it's a team that dominates the middle of the field defensively with Roquan Smith, with Patrick Queen, and with that daggone unicorn in Kyle Hamilton. Kyle Hamilton could be our secret weapon in this game. And Kyle Shanahan said, look, he's in year two. He's the best safety in the league. Best safety in the league. And so while I respect their offense, I think they're – the way he can scheme guys where you never see two guys running into, you know, with Roman, we saw guys running into each other, standing next to each other, holding their hand, no separation. With this guy's spacing, his ability to draw guys up and get them open and having guys running free, it's pretty special. So you got to give the guy credit. But I think when they played two tough defenses, they played two top nine EPA defenses this year. Those two were for the Cleveland Browns and the Minnesota Vikings, who are ninth in that category.
Two losses.
They lost both of them. So
yeah,
even though they're good and I have a ton of respect for them, I think if we tackle in space, obviously slow down CMC and you can rattle Brock Purdy. And the way they're going to do it is my breakout player, Jimbo. Yeah, they're great at, left tackle, like you said, best in the game. Trent Williams, I feel sorry for whoever's in front of him because you're probably going to get stuck in his belly button for a few quarters. But the interior, they're not so good. So we got a guy, Medibico's done something that Aaron Donald never did, Reggie White never did, Michael Strahan never did, and that's a sack in 11 straight games. He's going to do it again in this one, Jimbo. He's going to be the difference maker. And don't be surprised. I'm not rooting for it. I'm not cheering for it. But we knock quarterbacks out of games, Jimbo.
Yeah, we do.
We knock guys out of games. And so... As much as Brock Purdy, I think it's a little underrated for his mobility because every young quarterback has mobility. Remember Joe Flacco when he came in the league? he has mobility. So everybody has a little mobility when they move in the league. So he does have a little bit, but not enough to get away from Medibike and those boys. And so I think we rattle him, and that's my breakout player. What do you think, Joe?
I like it. I love it a lot. I love all of that. And just to add to that, I mean, I think the thing about Shanahan, which makes our defense – difficult for him is one, I think we have two of the best tacklers in the NFL in Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith, and they're so dependent on Yak. Mm-hmm. They're so dependent on it, right? Like winning those one-on-one matchups. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy thing to do, but like you said, if anyone has the horses for it, I think it's the Baltimore Ravens. And so, one, my breakout player of this game is Kyle Hamilton, because you talked about the ability to control the middle of the field, and Kyle, outside of our linebackers, just makes it impossible. Just makes it so, because he's so long. He's got so much speed. He's so savvy. But his tackling ability is so sure. He welcomes physicality all at the same time. He can do it all, right? So, and then my key to the game, and this goes right along with what you're saying, and then also with how we're going to beat this scheme, is that we've got to win in space in blocking scenarios. We've got to shed, and we've got to get there in bunches and early. We've got to be able to get there, and in times we have to avoid one-on-one scenarios. As much as I like our tacklers, you know, of ball carriers, certainly we've got to get there with more than one guy. So we've got to get through these blocks early and often and make it difficult on these runners with the ball to get more yak, because we're there with 2-3 guys every single time is my defensive key to the game. But Glenn, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time, because I'm tired of losing.
Are you getting nervous, bro?
No, I'm just tired.
Dude, I'm like you in that race, dude. And you're that guy mouth breathing ahead of me up.
No, trying to hump it up that hill.
You're trying to hump it up that hill. I'm nose breathing right behind you, brother.
And I can just hear you, right?
That's right.
I love it. Well, we'll see who's got what left in the tank, baby. But Todd Eve says, who would you favor? Both teams against the run, both teams against the pass, offensive running, offensive throwing the ball, and special teams. I don't understand your question, Todd.
Well, hold on. Let me help him. I got him. Both teams against the run. Honestly, I got to give the Niners a little bit of their run defense has been better than the Ravens as of late. Our pass defense, I give us the edge because they've been historically good. Offensive running, I got to give them the edge. I mean, they got CMC.
Even though we're first in the league.
I know. But
you got to include Lamar in there.
That's true. I mean, that's a tough one, but I'm going to give it to.
Can we push?
Okay, we'll take that as a, because we are number one in the league after all. So we can say that as a push. Offense throwing the ball, you got to give them credit. I mean, Purdy's putting up crazy numbers. I'll give him that. And then obviously we'll take special teams because we got the GOAT, who I don't care what the numbers are, Jimbo. If the game's on the line, it's just like Deion said, I'm as fast as I need to be. And Tucker's as accurate as he needs to be. And that accuracy will be proven right through the uprights Monday night if it comes down to it.
Amen. But it's time to get into it, Todd. So pardon me, but we got to get to this. Brought to you by BetUS, of course, our sponsor of the show. They will match your initial deposit for any of your gambling needs. Go gamble on this game if you want to, because the Ravens are dogs, and the last 7 dogs in a row have won on Monday night. Go make yourself some money. Use our promo code 410 or use the link in the description. You get matched up to 125%, up to $2,500. It's a ton of money, some free cash. Have fun. Don't gamble irresponsibly. Don't bet the house on it. Just have some fun. If you want to give somebody that you know that loves football and loves gambling a Christmas present, I mean, this is kind of an easy one. You know, they get free money, right? So they can have a little bit of fun. Now, if it's somebody that you know has a little problem with gambling, I wouldn't suggest doing that for Christmas. Mm-hmm. But somebody who enjoys it and does so responsibly. All that being said, it's time to get into our competition, which, of course, we do every week. It's our over-under. You guys can participate because we have a viewer winner and an show internal winner every week. The way you participate is leaving your answers in the comments section on YouTube after this video is over, or even easier, above Glenn's head, there are 3 YouTube or social media handles. And you can send us a direct message on any of them with your answers, and they will get viewed and considered for your submission. All right, DK has done it this week. So DK, let's get right to it. Over under number one, Ravens rushing yards, 150.5. yards. Right now they're averaging 163.8 yards per game on the season. I'm just gonna say it, they're going over, and it's not gonna be that close. Glenn, what say you?
Yeah, I mean, look, the way I look at it, if the Cardinals can run for 235, I gotta think the Ravens can run for 150. So I'm gonna say absolutely over, the number one rushing team. And yeah, they lost Keaton Mitchell, but they still got Lamar Jackson and they still got Gus Edwards, so over as well. And it looks like DK is in agreement. So we all 3 say over. All right, next one is Ravens time of possession, Jimbo. He puts it at 30 minutes. Last week, we had a 34-minute, 19-second time of possession. Over under, Jimbo.
Yeah, I think, let's see, I went under on this one, right? Yeah, mm-hmm, I did. Mm-hmm, I went under on this one. I'm going, I hate this. I'm just going to switch it on a fly. I'm going over. I'm going a shade over. Okay. Shade over, but I'm going over. Ravens are going over.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say under, but barely. I think this is a tight one. I think it's a 29-minute, you know, I think it's barely under. But I'm going to say under nonetheless. I think the Ravens might get a couple
short. This is a good one. I like this one.
Yeah, this one's tough. So, yeah, I'm going to say under. DK says over. Okay, so I'm the lone under here. This could be my area right there. You see that? You see where it happened? Mm-hmm. That's where I took the lead.
So you take the hill?
That's right. That's right. All right, the first defensive over-under is Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen. Total
this
tackles.
This is an easy one, DK.
Between the two of them. For me, I felt 17 and a half.
It's going over.
Well, it's so easy. DK says under.
Yeah, it's going on. I think Roquan's going to have like 14 himself. He's going to be getting tackles in the parking lot before the game starts. Somehow.
Yeah, I got him going over as well. That seems like to imagine 10 tackles from Roquan and 8 from Pat Queen seems like a layup to me. And with the way they want to run the ball, of course. So I'm going to say over as well. And DK says under. Man, he's trying to make a comeback, Jimbo. He's tired of losing, man. He wants to take his throne back, man.
Hey, I'm all right with that.
I'm not. It ain't happening. He ain't winning. All right, next one is Christian McCaffrey rushing and receiving yards. So you talk about a do-it-all back. He certainly is one of them. DK puts it at 115 and a half. What do you think, Jimbo?
Yeah, I'm going under here. Isn't that what I put? Yeah, I just want to make sure. Yeah, I'm going under. I think that if you look at the common thread between teams that have been successful against Christian McCaffrey, he just hasn't had incredibly productive games. And I realize rushing and receiving, this is a tall task.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to say the Ravens defense is up for it. I'm going under. And this might be a little bit of me just being emotional. I don't even care. I'm just rolling with the emotions. Let's go going under. What say you, my friend?
Well, look, DK can typically take emotion out of things, and he agrees with you. So maybe it's not you being so emotional. I'm going to say over just because, like you said, that's a lot to ask.
It is.
The fact that, you know, that as much as they want to get this guy involved through the air and on the ground, 115 is a pretty low number for him. So I say he gets 116 and they catch an L. So I say over. All right, first tiebreaker is? Total score, Jimbo, 47 and a half. This is definitely the highest over-under that DK set on the season. Is that not correct? That being said, over-under.
I'm going over on this one. I think both defenses will give up more than their average. I think this game ends up being like a, let's see, does this put me over? Yeah, 28-26 type game. So I'm going over here, and I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, I say over as well. I think it's more like a 28-20, but it's still over, and I still like our chances. So I'm going to say 28-20.
Okay.
Over the total. DK agrees. So we're all three in agreement. I think that's the only one we've all agreed on. So if we are tied amongst the first four, it's going to come down to the closest to the pin here. So let's get into our yardage predictions. Jimbo, how many total yards are the Ravens
going
to have this week?
Yeah, I'm going 345. I'm going efficiency in this game. 345, not the craziest numbers, but I think they get it done with that number.
Wow, okay. I'm going to say 362. Don't ask me why. No, but I do think we have success on the ground. I think we have more success on the ground than we do through the air. But I do think we continue to hit those chunk plays. And even though we didn't hit on all of them, we hit three of the longest plays of the week when Lamar did hit them. So I like our chances of getting some yards through the air as well. DK thinks we're gonna have some
feel
success.
The most confident.
Yeah, 390 yards is DK's prediction.
Remember DK's week one? It was like 585 or something.
Dude, he was really drinking the Kool-Aid, dude. He was loving it. Let's see here. All right, let's get through some of these super chats here because I think there's right, that we have not addressed. Yeah. Oh, here we go. I can't wait for this first one here, Jimbo, because I want you to take this one.
Yeah, I'm just going to leave my answer really simply. No. No, not a chance, because all we've seen from Kyle Shanahan is success in the regular season and not getting the job.
Well, he gets
done
to the Super Bowl, and then he collapses.
Yeah, I think Kyle's biggest flaw is that John is focused on his players and making his players the best they can be, and Shanahan is focused on tinkering with his system.
Mm.
I think that's his fault as a head coach. As a head coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think obviously Kyle's a brilliant offensive mind, but I will never, ever forgive him, nor will I ever forget.
28-3.
You goof. 28-3, and you got the MVP at quarterback. And I mean, there were so many moments. I'm like, punting is fine. Running the, you're in field goal range. They were in field goal range, Jimbo, and he threw it and took a massive sack that lost them the game.
Yeah,
he could have knelt it. He could have knelt it in field goal range, but you take a big sack. So I haven't forget the late game collapses. And what I know from John Harbaugh, when he gets to the Super Bowl, we ready. That's ready, and we're going home with a win because that's just what Baltimore does. So I'll take John Harbaugh. But I wouldn't mind. I, you know what? Even with those collapses, I might consider Kyle Shanahan for my OC. I might.
Nice. I love it. All right, let's get these last two. Appreciate it from some of our biggest supporters, Don Seasons. Appreciate you guys. Merry Christmas. Love what you guys are building here at 410 Sports Talk. Thank you so much, Don C. We greatly appreciate it. You know, man, you work hard out there for your money, and we are grateful that we're able
Jimbo, they could be watching anyone on the internet.
And they hang out with us. I mean, we're able to the feeling is absolutely reciprocal. So we are so grateful for the opportunity we have to just hang with you guys, to be part of this community. For you guys allowing us to be the mouthpiece of this community that's been created because of you guys. Thank you so much, Don. We appreciate it because we know money does not come by any of us easily. So thank you very much, and a happy holiday and Merry Christmas to you as well. Thank you, Don. Much appreciated. Sean, to you as well. Merry Christmas, boys. Giving y'all this 50 for y'all's hard work and being awesome dudes. Merry Christmas. Thank you, boys, so much. The only thing I want to say related to this, if any of you guys are ever feeling so inspired, the top corner is our PayPal, and YouTube doesn't take a cut from that. So if you're ever just feeling generous and you want to support the show, hit up the PayPal. That's all I'm saying.
Jimbo, I just saw your private chat.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just straight up.
Keep it real. Keep it in 100.
But no.
Jimmy's got to go to a bathroom break, guys. I'm going to blow his spot up. Jimmy's got to go take a, you know what.
I'm sweating over here, dude. I'm sweating over here. But thank you guys so much, so much, Glenn. I just want to tell you that, look, this is year 4. It's been an absolute blast. We do this every year. I get emotional every year. I love doing the show, and I love doing it with you and DK. I love you guys. Thank you so much for the opportunity to work with you guys. Merry Christmas, Glenn. I hope that your son has an awesome one. I hope that Katie and yourself also have an awesome one. DK. Mm-hmm. Your family as well. Let's go.
Jimbo, couldn't be doing this with a better guy. Obviously, finding DK was like, I mean, holy smokes. I mean, we talked about it. I mean, the luckiest guys in the world. And of course, super lucky to have you guys watching us. I mean, I hope you guys all have a very Merry Christmas. Jimbo, I hope Henry is just super excited when he's opening those presents. Absolutely. I hope Tanya has a fantastic. I know your in-laws are in town. You got the whole family in town.
That's right.
Obviously, love your parents. Great respect for everyone. So I hope everyone watching, as well as everyone involved with the show, has a merry, merry Christmas. But don't forget, we'll be here on Christmas.
Woo!
We ain't taking no nights off. Nuh-uh. Nope. We're going to be right here, and I want all these goofballs. Let me see. I want Easy Money's punk self back here, and I want him with his chest out after we kick the chest in of the 49ers. I want you back.
Love
because, but I have a feeling he won't be back. You know, I got a sneaky suspicion he'll say I was sleepy after my meal on Christmas night. I didn't stay up late enough because he's going to be running from those receipts that we're keeping. I'm keeping receipts, Easy
Money.
That's
right, baby. That's right.
I'm keeping them. But what's up?
No, I was going to say shout out to all you guys, man.
And thanks for Rich for joining us. Appreciate you coming on and sharing some time with us. But that's it for us tonight. We'll be back Monday night.
Christmas night. We'll be here.
Or be square.
You got it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Love it.